Yeah, welcome in to the Tuesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning. Hope everybody is doing well. What a game last night for the Tennessee Titans. They go on the road and they take down the Miami Dolphins 28-27 in a game where defeat at one point looked almost certain when they had just squandered two opportunities. They basically handed the Dolphins the football on a silver platter. You got to 27-13, and you thought, well, that's it. After a game where the Titans did a great job of hanging around all game long, I thought the Dolphins were going to end up covering spread last night. And instead, Will Levis and the Tennessee Titans drive right down the field. They get the two-point conversion. They get a stop defensively, and then they go win the game again. What a win for the Tennessee Titans. Joe Rexrow, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, and yeah, I think we'll probably talk about that someday. But we need to also make sure we talk about Tommy DeVito and the Green Bay Packers.
Yes,
today.
Let's make sure we get
I'm
into
sorry.
That.
I'm sorry. How about that? Like who had
trying
that?
To like quietly flip a table while you have a newborn in your house is an interesting one. Yeah, that was interesting balance last night.
Who had Giants and Titans winning last night?
I don't know who did, but if you did, I hope you put some money on it. Because probably was a good night for you if you did.
Probably was. Crazy, man. That was from what I can tell, that win for the Titans, it might be the only time in history. Now, it's definitely the only time in this century, but it might be the only time at all that a team is trailed by two touchdowns, less than 3 minutes to go, and one in regulation.
Yeah.
As far as I know, that might be the only time in NFL history.
Yeah.
So we know it's the only time in the century, but maybe we can get clarification on that. Regardless, pretty improbable. What was the whatever? Like ESPN does the percentage. What was it like 90?
It was 99.7% that the Dolphins are going to win.
99.7. Meanwhile, on the TVs around us, Jeff Simmons with the surrender cobra after the botched punt. My goodness.
Well, it's funny because, you know, the Titans blocked a field goal in that game last night, Danico Autry with the field goal block. And as soon as it happened, I just went straight to Twitter. And I saw Jared screaming in all capital letters about how Craig Aukerman's terrible. And the minute that they fire Craig Aukerman, they start to figure things out on special teams. And then Eric Gehrer decides to do whatever in the heck he did last night. For some reason, touching the football when it's, you know, bouncing at the 6-yard line. And hands the game, I thought at the time, on the silver platter to the Dolphins. They score the touchdown there. You have the bad pitch between Levis and Henry that they turn the ball over on that. And it's just like, geez. They played so well all game long, especially defensively. Like, thinking about how they did not give up a touchdown to the Dolphins offensively before, like, 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter is pretty astounding. Based on what they had available to them.
It really is. With no Jeff Simmons, no Christian Fulton. Now, no Tyreek Hill for the most part, yep. And there's no doubt I'm convinced he's MVP over last night. And also, you know, they lose their center. Their offensive line's just a mess right now. But still, you got to get
Kendall Lamb out there. Good for them.
Right. Kendall Lamb starting at left tackle. I mean, that's the amazing thing. I think maybe of all the things that were surprising, yes, absolutely, it's the defense doing what it did. You gave them all the free points you gave them, but also the protection for Will Levis in this game. One sack, I mean, it wasn't perfect, but I would have expected, you know, I would have expected the Titans' offensive line to struggle more than it did and gave Will Levis a chance to have the game of his career so far.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be the story today is Will Levis. We're going to get plenty into his performance last night because it was spectacular. 23 of 38, 327 yards, one touchdown, one interception, a quarterback rating of 86.2. But just those last few couple drives were what it was. I mean, and, you know, there were some special throws throughout the night, basically from him to Hopkins. I mean, there's the long play, I think the 45-yarder, to Hopkins. You know, Hopkins ends up with 7 catches, 124 yards. Some great throws to him, some great throws to Tajay Spears, a couple tight window throws to Chigakonkwo as well. I mean, like I said, it wasn't perfect. He had a pick six in the game that wasn't very good, and you can't throw that ball. He had the, you know, obviously, you know, him and Henry with the missed pitch there. So there were plenty of mistakes that were made in the game. But I think last night and the way that that game ended and what Will Levis displayed there shows you that the Titans, I think they've got something at the quarterback position, which, as we've talked about, that's what this season is now about, is trying to help determine what that is and how to build around him moving forward. And that was a heck of a response for him last night in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I mean, it's an all-timer. He was tremendous late. Like you said, not perfect. And I think that they should have an intra-squad baseball game, teach him to slide.
That would be nice.
You know, just let him, like, get on base the whole game.
Yeah.
And, I mean, have him steal bases because he's going to have to – he's going to have to –
You got to get down.
Yeah, I mean, this is like – yeah, you know, some of those. I mean, it's one of those things that fires up the team to have runs like that. And I mean, there's a still shot of Jalen Ramsey just getting basically folded like an accordion by Levis running over him. So that he's got that. But yeah, you need to, you know, slow down with that stuff. You know, a couple mistakes, but man, the big time throws were plenty last night. I mean, the no-look throw to Hopkins for the TD was that was pretty good.
It's a great play. And then, you know, the Titans won a road game, which I forgot what that was like. It'd been since Lambeau Field last year on the road against Green Bay. That was the last time the Titans had won a road game. Not only did they win a road game, Joe, they won a road game and they scored 28 points in the process of doing so, which I believe is also the first time since last year in Green Bay when they scored 27 that they've approached doing that. So, yeah. I mean, it's just – and it kind of came out of nowhere, right? I mean, if you're the Titans, you scored 10 points in the first half, you were up 10-7, and it just kind of felt like could you hang on defensively? And for the most part, they did. And then that offensive explosion just kind of came out of nowhere. And I do remember thinking when they scored the first touchdown to cut it to 27-19, and they trotted out there and went for two. I was like, what are they doing? Why are they going for two? And then I was like, oh, okay. Well, if you get it, then you can just go try to win the game. And they got it, then they went and won the game.
Yeah, I still – people do it. It's the analytics say to do it. So, fine. I still – like, my brain still struggles with that one. Because, obviously, you miss it. Now you have to go for two.
Right.
Now, the Titans in the spot they're in, 4-8 going into that game. No one expects them to even be in the game. Great. Go for it.
Sure.
I wasn't really watching the Manning cast, but I saw a clip of, like, Cousins was on during that time, and so when they scored the winning touchdown, Cousins was like, well, I guess that's why they went for two. So apparently those three were also like, what are they doing?
Yeah.
You know, people are still reacting like that, but yeah, it is out of nowhere. I mean, it really is. I mean, it's like, I'm glad, like, just from my perspective, one, I'm glad that I was able to go to bed like 20 minutes after the game ended, but also, like, that would have been one of those, especially the primetime game, where you completely just take a column and trash it, flush it, and start over at the end. So congrats to Gentry Estes. So I see he has a column about Vrabel, which I'm interested to read.
Yeah.
I wonder if his that's a very interesting topic today, I think, along with a lot of other things, but just the Vrabel aspect of this.
Well,
that was his Vrabel special. That was his Vrabel special. His Vrabel special.
That's a Vrabel special as one that we've seen in a long time. And I tell you what, we've had a lot of people making a big deal about his sideline demeanor. He looked pretty happy last night after that win. I mean, he was over there going nuts, hugging people and running around, fist pumping, all this other stuff. Looked like a pretty happy version of Mike Vrabel on the sideline last night.
It was just an absolute GIF waterfall from him last night.
It was.
And some of the expressions, my favorite was when things were not going well.
Conversation with him and Eric Gehrer after the muff punt. When you can clearly see him just throwing F-bombs out there, it was awesome.
I don't give a bleep.
Yes.
Whatever he said.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
But, yes, at the end you got – and so you have Simmons with the reaction on that play, and then at the end you got Vrabel and Simmons. Like, I mean, it's, you know, good for those guys. You know, I know I made a joke on X about how they're screwing up their drafts. I mean, the Giants win too. You understand where they'd be right now in the draft standings? They just lost that game.
I know.
They're about to mess around and, you know, win some more games maybe.
Like, and I in all seriousness, like, I did think about that after they won last night. Well, there goes some of that draft. I mean, this, look, obviously, like, this is not going to amount to, you know, like, some playoff push for the Titans here. But wasn't that fun? Like, if you're a Titans fan, especially because you feel like you've got your quarterback. Because it's one thing exactly. if you're talking about draft status and you don't have your quarterback.
Like, if Tannehill were doing this, it'd be like, okay,
right.
Cool.
Right. Like, it's a different thing. But when you feel like you've got your quarterback, like, that win to me last night for him and the confidence and just kind of showing what he's got on a national stage, like, I put more value in that than, like, three draft spots or whatever it would end up being at the end of the day.
Without question. I mean, look, it'd be great to be as high as possible. It'd be great to have – to think you might be able to get one of those two supposedly foundational left tackles or Marvin Harrison Jr. But, yeah, look, I mean, you know, there's a lot of acquisitions that they have to make in this offseason. They're going to have a chance to get a very good football player who helps them right away in the draft. And if you have your quarterback, then that just really saw. I mean, that's the number one question. And I thought so before this. You know, it's clear, like, Will Levis going to get every opportunity to be that guy. But I think last night you started to see, like, a little bit of the upside, a little bit more of the upside with him. I mean, those are, you know, to make those plays on those two drives late and some of the passes he made, some of the poise he showed in there, that's so valuable.
That was big-time stuff, no question about it. What a win for the Titans last night. They take down the Miami Dolphins 28-27, a 13.5-point underdog the Titans were heading into this game, and they go on the road and win in dramatic fashion last night. We'll take your thoughts on all of that. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll get deeper into Will Levis and his performance last night on Monday Night Football coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
Last one, your quarterback, Will Levis, is a rookie, but what did you see in him, and especially in that fourth quarter as he's leading you guys for the comeback?
I saw a dog. I saw a dog out here today. That kid is going to be great, man. I'm always in his ear trying to help him, read defenses and be better. I know he's still got a lot in his tank. I know he can improve, even though, you know, he came out here and beat these guys today. But I'm going to still be on the Monday when we go back and let him know that there are certain things that he can improve on. But, man, Will show heart. I love competing and playing with him.
That was DeAndre Hopkins after the game last night with a friend of the program, Cam Wolf of the NFL Network. Pretty high praise from Will Levis there. And look, I don't know how you couldn't be excited if you're a Titans fan after watching Will Levis play last night and what he did, particularly in the second half and into the fourth quarter. He finishes 23 of 38, 327 yards, one touchdown, did have the pick six in the game, made some huge throws down the stretch, a lot of them to Hopkins, the no-look touchdown pass to Hopkins. Big play down the field, which may or may not have been pass interference by Hopkins, but didn't call it.
Well, it was a great OPI, and that's one of those in real time I wouldn't expect. It was kind of like the one with the Packers and Chiefs last week where it's like you slow it down. It's like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
But if you do something real quick, you know, get someone's arm out of the way real fast and take, you know, that's hard to pick up in real time. That's just crafty old man game by D-Hop.
I thought Hopkins was phenomenal last night. I mean, he continues to just be so steady and consistent for this team. And think about where they would be right now if they didn't sign him and what that would look like. I mean, he is absolutely Will Levis's security blanket. And not only just a security blanket, he's a playmaker. Like, he's the playmaker that they have throwing the football. And Spears had a great game catching the football last night, 6 catches, 89 yards as a running back as well on 8 targets. So that was great to see. Derrick Henry probably had the best catch of his entire career last night, 1 catch for 17 yards. That's a heck of a catch by Derrick Henry.
Yeah, and they just line him out wide, and it's like, yeah, go high point.
Go high point the ball, come down 2 feet in bounds, and that's what I was saying. Wheel route. Give me the wheel route at some point.
Once he makes that play, you better give him one deep shot on a wheel route at some point in his career.
It better happen. So,
come on.
Good stuff from them last night, but Levis is the story. And, Joe, you know, it was, I think, a game really that epitomizes what I think Will Levis is at this point. You know, there were some mistakes that were pretty glaring, right? I mean, that you can't throw that ball on the screen where you throw the pick six. It's a bad decision, and he throws the pick six there. And I know that there was pressure coming his way, but you can't. That's the one place you can't throw the ball right there. So you throw the pick six. We talked about the missed exchange on the pitch between him and Derrick Henry. You know, he missed a couple other throws in the game, but you know, as much as I hate the running around and trying to truck people like you're a fullback, just the competitiveness that he continues to put on display and the ability to move on to the next play and not let bad plays affect you moving forward. I mean, that last night I think was kind of the epitome of that from Will Levis, and it was good to see. And then that was some clutch stuff in the fourth quarter leading those drives, those two touchdown drives.
No doubt. And, again, with some of the throws he made, like the deep – I mean, what number two on ESPN,
yeah,
top 10, the deep shot late in the first half to Hopkins that you mentioned with the, you know, the OPI. But, you know, some of the – that, he had a few others too. He had a couple to Chig Okonkwo where – man, it's tight windows, and in some cases, it's just arm, you know, that he's using, and not even able to step into some of these throws, and still make them. So, the mistake early. It's almost, in a way, it's almost more impressive when you make a mistake like that, and then you come out and play the way he did the rest of the game.
Agreed.
Especially late. It's interesting too. Like, you think about the previous number eight, where it was like, you know, you need a little bit more vocal presence, a little bit more, you know, all that stuff. More, you know, it's this number eight.
Complete
is
opposite.
Tone it down sometimes, but you know what? It's infectious. And I mean, again, if that's how you are and you play like that, then you are, I mean, you're exactly what teams in this league are looking for. You're also. And I've said this before, like, if he's good, the other teams are going to hate him so much.
And I think that's clearly on display now. And that part of it's going to be really fun to watch, to see how that continues to develop here. But, I mean, look, 328 yards passing last night, or excuse me, 327 passing last night for this team. I mean, the running game, I mean, it basically was a non-factor. Derrick Henry, 17 carries, 34 yards. I mean, he had the two touchdowns on the ground. Those both came, you know, in goal line situations. Spears with 7 carries for 29. Levis did kind of break out of there and rush 4 times for 15 yards. So that was the other thing. Like, it looks like his foot/ankle, whatever was bothering him, was feeling better last night, which was good to see. But, you know, you felt like if the Titans were going to win that game, that running the ball was going to have to be a pretty steady part of the formula. And they ran it 29 times, so they tried to run it. Just didn't go very well, 2.9 yards per carry. I mean, the first play of the game, it's a handoff to Derrick Henry.
David
Long Jr. comes just steaming in there like a missile, and I was like, oh, boy, here we go. David Long Jr. revenge game is upon us. But they got things done in the passing game last night. You know, Chris Moore is good for about one or two catches a game, but they always end up being, you know, pretty big plays. He gets a 22-yarder last night over the middle of the field. You know, not much from Treylon Burks again, and we'll get to that coming up a little bit later in the show. But overall, the passing game against a secondary that is really good and a pass rush that's been really good all year, impressive stuff from the Titans passing game last night.
It was. And again, the offensive line, I mean, I think, you know, Jalen, now the false starts are just, it's an absolute epidemic.
It's wild.
It's, you know, between the false starts and if you just cleaned up the false starts and the kicking game disastrous mistakes, where would this team be, you know?
Yeah.
But still, the pass protection was pretty good. And, yeah, Hopkins and Ramsey at times were matched up. Great battles. There was another catch Hopkins had where he was just out of bounds. Unbelievable catch on the sideline. I think Spears last night, you know, I mean, he ends up with, what, 100 and, you know, 115 yards of scrimmage. But you saw with Spears.
Yeah.
Like, he's
a player.
He is a player. And I think Chig here is having a little bit of a late season resurgence, which is good because it is on the outside. Like you said, Chris Moore will give you a play. You know, Westbrook and Keenan gets the 2-pointer. He also drops the touchdown pass.
Yep.
You know, like,
it was a tough catch, but
it was a tough catch. But yeah, you know,
you
want to come down with that one. But it's Hopkins and everybody else. But I do Chig. You know, 6 targets, 5 catches, 46 yards. He's having a little bit of a surge here, which is good to see because.
Yep.
That's kind of a big question, too, at that position. And Josh Wiley wasn't available last night.
Tyler on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, I absolutely don't want to hear anything about draft status. The importance of the team learning how to win a game where they try to completely give it away is invaluable. Plus, seeing Levis develop is priceless. I'm still not convinced he's going to be the guy because of some of his decisions concern me, but I've liked what I've seen so far. This is from Tyler on the text line. Got another text that says, Levis has a lot of Brett Favre in him. What do you think of that one?
Yeah. I mean, I see that some. You hope he doesn't have those picks in him. But yeah. obviously, you know, I mean, Favre is also a Hall of Fame talent and interesting dude. But I mean, I get it. I get it. Some.
Will Levis like volleyball?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, man. Is he a good fundraiser? Yeah. I don't know. I haven't thought Favre
allegedly.
That's right. Thank you. I haven't watched Favre when I've watched Levis, but I mean, you do see it last night again. Slide for sure, but he's got some speed. He does. There is. I mean, I think there's a now the difference between these two guys is Josh Allen. To me, he takes too many hits too, but he has a very good knack for not taking big hits. Like he, you know,
well, he's bigger too. Yeah,
he's bigger. But there's a little. I mean, I don't think Titans are going to do that stuff with Levis, but maybe just because it's more of a contemporary.
Yeah.
You can see that, and there were some people who talked about that during the draft process. Is there a little bit of a Josh Allen element to his game? I want to see him with, you know, another receiver who's a real threat along with Hopkins and with a much better offensive line.
Yeah. But having said all that, to win that game in the fashion they did last night with the pieces currently in place, that's, to me, really encouraging about what that could mean. Like, if you make the right decisions this offseason, if you're the Titans, and you begin to kind of flesh out the roster a little bit around him, where there's more depth and there's more options to go to with the football, and there's a little bit better protection, like, if Levis is doing some of this with the pieces that he's got around him right now, what could that mean if you surround him with better pieces as you move forward? And look, again, like, Levis... You know, I didn't think Levis was great the week before, so it's not like this has been like some steady incline from Levis ever since he took over. But, I mean, last night was, I think, again, a reminder of some special traits that he has. And if you find a way to put those special traits on display consistently, that's how you end up with quarterback play, potentially, that we've not seen around here in a long time.
Right, and it's, you know, the downside of the emotion – you want that. You'd much rather try to contain that. There's no way to manufacture that. The downside can be when things go poorly, you make a mistake or whatever, then, you know, that it goes the other way, right? And then you can't move on to the next play. Everybody talks about the next play mentality. It's a cliche, but it's very true. But that's another reason I think last night, beyond the win, the late game stuff, but rebounding from those two mistakes that, you know, gave them two touchdowns, and you just kept playing. And there's an even keel element to that you have to have too, even though he's a fiery guy, obviously.
We're live from our 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. The Titans win 28-27 last night on the road, Monday Night Football. What a performance by Will Levis, DeAndre Hopkins, especially in the second half. We'll take your thoughts on that. 615-737-1025, our phone number. More coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 105-106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 105-106.3, The Game. Brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home.
That the reaction, again, to the Eric Gehrer, man, the first of all, Simmons, Tom Quinn, and then the Vrabel's conversation with that they're playing on ESPN, man, that's something else, I tell you what. Good stuff.
I would love to know what was going through his mind there. Get away from the punt, get away from the punt, everybody get away from it, and now I'm going to touch it.
Yeah, I mean, Vrabel talked after the game. We could possibly play it later, but he talked after the game about, I mean, he went through the details of all that they coach in those situations. And, yeah, you can field a punt on one hop. That's sure. But not when there's a bunch of the other team around you. Like, it's
on your 6-yard line.
Yeah, it's kind of changes the situation. But, hey, who's happier than Eric Gehrer today?
Oh, huh? Man.
Of all the people who are happy
today. I probably still cut him, but, yeah.
Well, the thing is, I mean, that was a terrible mistake. He's been a pretty good find, you know? That was
bad.
Yeah,
I don't want that.
Yeah, you don't want that. I agree. Don't get all Jared and cut everybody after one mistake, though.
Hey, Tom Quinn's out there coaching them up, though. It's just, you know, the coaching that Tom Quinn's going to bring to the table. Eric Garrett will be fine moving forward. You're right.
That
is stick
true.
With him.
Well, yeah. Well, I got a huge all caps text from Jared. when they blocked the field goal.
Oh yeah.
And my text back was, I was like, well, so wait a minute. So you're dunking, and you said he tweeted that, right?
Oh yeah.
So
all
he,
caps.
He tweeted that, and I tweeted in all caps. His apprentice. No. I'm sorry. I apprentice in all caps. I tweeted. I'm really messing this up. I texted back. I said, "His apprentice just induced a field goal block. Yay, Aukerman!" I think we need. That's the legacy of Craig Aukerman. Got the field goal block. Am I wrong?
Got Tom Quinn coached up enough where
exactly.
They got the field goal block. Good
exactly.
Stuff. What a win for the Titans last night. Taking your thoughts on that all show long. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Travis. Travis, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning. I hope I don't sound like I'm in a well this time like last time. But Mike Vrabel, I kept seeing him say whenever all the mistakes kept happening, keep playing, keep playing. I read his lips on the TV, obviously. And that's why I'm saying give him a little bit longer. I know everybody's calling for his head and we're having a bad season. But – I say give him a little bit longer. I'll hang up and listen to your thoughts. I appreciate you taking my call.
Yep, thanks for the call, Travis. Appreciate it. I mean, the Vrabel part of this, as you alluded to, Joe, is pretty interesting today. Like, that's a heck of a win for the Titans last night, going on the road, taking down the number one seed at the time in the AFC. You know, one thing that's clear, like the idea that Vrabel has, quote-unquote, lost the locker room, I think you can put that stuff to bed. I mean, they're playing hard. I never bought into that stuff anyway. We've talked about that. But they're playing hard, and they gutted one out last night. It would have been so easy, especially when it got 27-13 and how deflating that looked on the field, for the Titans to just pack it up and fold it up and say, well, 4-9, got four more to close out the string here last night, and they didn't do that. And I think the quarterback deserves credit for that. I think DeAndre Hopkins deserves credit for that. But I think Mike Vrabel deserves credit for that too. That was a heck of a win for him last night, and it changes, I think, some conversation around him heading into the final part of the year.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I think it does. I think maybe some people, I mean, look, there's some people that are dug in. Like Vrabel's a great coach. Everybody else wants him. What are you talking about?
Yeah,
I think there might be some people who are, you know, are dug in on. I mean, it's just not working. New coach. We may work with one of those people.
We might.
I'm with you. I never bought the, you know, lost the team. I mean, last night's one of the reasons that the NFL's great, which is, one, yes, there's parity, but also, like, you can't fake it in this sport, you know? You can't fake it. I mean, you have to try to win week after week. You look at the joy, not just, like, Levis, but, like, look at the reaction, like, Vrabel and the coaches and Simmons after they clinched it with Landry's third sack, by the way. What a night for him. I mean, you know, these every week you're in this league. I mean, you're basically – you could look at it like you're fighting for your job, you know? I never one time have thought through any of this that the Titans were lacking, like, effort or anything. You know, the whole voice in the room, the tactics and things like that, I mean, that's a fair thing to bring up with any coach, I think. But for the most part, he's got a program, he's got a system, and he's got a pretty untalented team this year. And so I think it's all been overblown. This doesn't erase all of it. It's still there's still Patriots interest potentially.
Sure.
I don't know what – like, is Vrabel – I don't know if Vrabel's absolutely resolved that he wants to be here or he's a disillusioned by any of this. But, yeah, the whole, like, this is really on Vrabel or like, Vrabel's the primary culprit with this losing streak. It's obvious to look at the coach. Yeah, I would think that some people would look at last night's overall performance and say, yeah, that might have been a little bit exaggerated.
Yeah, and, look, I think the – we've talked with Kaharski about, like, the mood on the sideline stuff and the facial expressions and him, you know, being hunched over and, you know, I guess just looking like he's miserable and would rather be anywhere else. It's like, well, you know, when your quarterback's getting sacked 8 times a game and you're jumping off sides every play and, you know, you got false start penalties left and right, I mean, eventually that takes a toll on you as a coach. But again, You look pretty happy after that win last night. Didn't look like somebody that was checked out to me. So it goes back to the conversation of, I think we've been reading a little bit too much into somebody's sideline demeanor.
Well, I mean, it's fantastic from my perspective. I mean, he is, you know, there's a lot of coaches who just sort of keep it sort of, you know, they just don't really have expressions that react to things. Vrabel's always been a guy who's reacted to things.
Yeah.
But in particular, mistakes and things that go poorly. So keep churning out the gifts, man. But, yeah, look, I mean, it's going to be really interesting. Like Ben from Cumberland City, bad teams beat good teams all the time. Calm down. Don't rush to change the narrative. But what is the narrative? It depends on the person.
Yeah, nobody's saying the Titans have, like, turned some corner here.
Right. I mean, you know, look. Look at me punch my mic. Again, I really, as I see this, and I'm going to read the headline on Gentry S. This is Colin. Wrote a good column. He said, the Tennessee Titans got a timely reminder to value what they have in Mike Vrabel by Gentry Estes. And I think he makes some good points in that piece, and I think there's some counterpoints out there that, you know, that other people will have. Bottom line is, we have many years of seeing Mike Vrabel coach.
Yeah.
Like, not one time have I thought that Mike Vrabel's a bad coach. I have thought that this is a bad team, because it is a bad team.
Yeah. I got a texter that says, Joe and Ravi doubted this team. Y'all said a blowout. Guess what? No, it's not. Titans win. Big dub. Y'all don't know sports. It's from an unnamed texter on the text line.
And actually, it follows it up with, don't talk good about this Titan team now.
Mm.
Yes, what should we do?
Do not dare react to new information.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And look, I'm sure finally got a prediction wrong.
You all were raining positives in. When
I know. I finally got a prediction wrong.
We heard from a lot of people yesterday that thought the Titans were going to win.
Yeah.
And by a lot of people, I mean zero.
Well, no, but that's the thing. We've been screaming all week as the whole, all of Nashville prepares for a big victory. We've been screaming all week they're going to get blown out, you know? So it's on us, man. We cannot talk good about this team now. They suck.
I accept it. Okay. I mean, they are 5-8. It's not very good.
That is true. So with Levis as quarterback, by the way, they're 3-3. Is that right? They're 2-5, and they're 3-3. Is that? Am I accurate with that?
I believe that is correct.
And if you don't dribble down your leg with a couple punts, it's 4-2.
Yeah.
And actually, by the way, you're actually right in the playoff mix if that doesn't happen.
You are. Yes.
You really are. Amazing.
I mean, if you just don't let that happen, you've won 3 in a row. The Carolina game, the Indy game, and then last night. And
well, they
are talking about that.
Right. I mean, they are playing better. I mean, that's the thing. You know, they're playing better because, I mean, Levis and Hopkins have something. Like, one thing I know for next year is that Levis to Hopkins should be really good, especially if they build around that appropriately and correctly. And, you know, now you're seeing Spears, too. I mean, you're seeing some of these guys, and Levis, I think, build some chemistry together and things that you can't build if you're not playing games. So think about, like, now what is known about Will Levis and what he's been able to do on the field. He just had the rookie record for passing yards in Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
And had he not played, we'd have no idea. I mean, this ends up being a really positive few weeks here for the Tennessee Titans.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Big Titans win last night, 28-27 on Monday Night Football on the road against the Dolphins. We will take your thoughts on Will Levis's performance, the performance of DeAndre Hopkins. We can get to the defensive performance as well, which we've not gotten to yet on the show. Everything on the table, 615-737-1025, our phone number. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Derek Mason at Teddy's Tavern this Sunday from 9:30 to 11:30 for our NFL pregame show. They'll break down the Titans' Week 15 matchup against the Texans and give you the latest updates before the game. Our NFL pregame show presented by Parma Tractor and Equipment and Beast Unleashed. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Taking your thoughts, Titans win last night 28-27 on the road on Monday Night Football. Drew on the text line, Joe, says, it was an outstanding performance all the way around. Here's a scenario. What if we went out and the rest of the division loses? Is there a playoff chance? What do you think of that one?
Yeah. I was wondering if this was going to come up today. We go from top five pick incoming to playoffs. Let's go. Well, let's look at the Jags. Let's just talk about the Jacksonville Jaguars, okay, because they play here in the finale. So could the Titans win out? Sure. Now, the Texans are coming in. C.J. Stroud's in concussion protocol. Seattle's in here. You got the Jags. Like I said, at the end of the year, you go to Houston. Is it possible? Yeah, it's possible. I wouldn't pick it. I wouldn't. Yeah, I mean, I think they might have a couple more wins left in them. But okay, let's just play it out. The 9-8, Jaguars. Let's just go with the Jaguars. Forget the Colts and Texans. Jaguars are 8-5. Okay, so could they lose out and get to the point where it's 8-8 against 8-8 here? Now, again, I don't know what the Colts and Texans have done in the meantime, but they don't play the Jags, either of them. They're done with those teams. They only have one division game left, which is against the Titans. The Jaguars have the Ravens coming in Sunday night, which is a nice game. Yep, they could absolutely lose that. They go to the Bucks. Bucks aren't terrible. Okay. The week before they come here, they have the Carolina Panthers at home. So I'm going to go ahead and give them their 9th win, okay? I'm going to say that the Jags right now, I promise you, and I know what the Titans just did, but I mean, if you watch a Carolina Panthers play, there's 9 wins. Here's the problem when you talk about the division. The Jags are 4-1 in the division. The Titans are 0-3.
Yeah.
There is no way for the Titans to overcome that tiebreaker as long as the Jags beat the Panthers. So the Titans are not going to win the AFC South. I mean, I know that, like, news flash.
Breaking news.
Breaking. But, I mean, you know, if we're talking hypotheticals, we're going to play absolute extremes.
Yeah.
Now, if the Titans went to 9-8, if they won out, could they get a wild card? Yeah, it's possible. I mean, there's a million teams in the AFC that are in the playoff race. Like, if you want to count the Titans, I guess. Are the Titans going to be on the screen now when they show the little playoff thing? Are they going to be in the hunt? Are they going to be in the screen? They're not going to be in the – they got to get another win. I mean, if you want to go that route, yeah. If you won out, it's possible at the end there you could be alive, and if you beat the Jags, you could sneak in as the 7. Possible.
Well, if you're the Jags, I do think you need to be looking over your shoulder a little bit. It's not the Titans. Here's the Colts schedule, their last 4 games. At home against the Steelers, which by the way is a Saturday game, potentially a Mitch Trubisky-led Steelers team. We'll see if Kenny Pickett can get back out there.
Mm-hmm.
The following week, on the road against the mighty Atlanta Falcons. The following week, on December 31st, at home against the Colts, or at home against the Raiders. And then the final week, the Texans-Colts meet to potentially decide the division.
Where is that?
That's in Indy.
That's in Indy. Okay. Yeah. No, that's.
I mean, the Colts have an opportunity. I don't think they probably won't because they're, you know, Gardner Minshew's their quarterback. They have an opportunity to. I mean, they could win all 4 of those games.
They could. Yeah. The Titans right now, by the way, are the 15. They lose the tiebreaker to both to the Chargers, Raiders, and Jets, even though they beat the Chargers. But it's based on win percentage and conference games. So conference record has not been kind. So they are the 15. Right now, what about the Texans? Of course, we know the Texans finished 2 of those games against the Titans, which,
and if you're
the Texans, have looked pretty good. So they got all kinds of division games at the Colts at the end, and then they have the Browns at home. That's an intriguing little game there on Christmas Eve, by the way. So
Joe Flacco slinging that thing around.
I don't trust the Colts. I have thought a lot of the Texans before. Remember, Stroud got hurt late in that game, but like, they were absolutely humiliated by the Jets on the road.
Yep.
Stroud was awful in that one game. So I don't know what to think of them right now. But, hey, there's a million teams. So if the Titans went out, then if they're 8-8 with the Jags coming in, they will be mathematically alive. And it'll be like, you know, then you need these two teams to tie and blah, blah, blah. But, hey. You're saying there's a chance.
The winds shift after one game.
One win.
I like it.
Yeah.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Jaden. Jaden, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, guys. So I just wanted to comment on the game last night. I don't know if you guys saw that stat on that graphic last night, that teams coming in with about 3 minutes. You could correct me if I'm wrong. Teams coming in with a 14-point deficit or something like that with 3 minutes to go in the game is like 0-373, and the Titans defied that. I thought they had a pretty good night, minus, of course, the pick six turnover and the muffed punt and all the things that should have led them to a loss. But Will Levis defied the odds. DeAndre Hopkins had a great night. And in my opinion, I don't know how you don't have Levis as your future quarterback I know we're pretty early on, but seeing his resiliency and how he likes to fight, his energy that he has, this is a quarterback that the Titans have not seen in quite some time. I know you commented on that earlier, but great performance by the Titans last night, bearing some bad plays, but overall, good win for the Titans.
Thanks for the call, Jaden. Appreciate it. The stat that he's referencing, they flashed this up on the broadcast last night as they were interviewing Will Levis in the postgame. The Titans, the first win by a team down 14 points or more with under 3 minutes to go since 2016. And in that time frame, teams are 0-767. As that is
right, so that's win period.
Yeah,
win in regulation, yeah, win period. May be the first time ever.
Yeah, could be.
So a lot, you know, down 14, plenty of those teams have forced overtime, won in overtime, but to win that in regulation, going for two.
Yeah,
going with the analytics, Vrabel, you analytics freak, you. Gover said,
"You nerd."
Yeah, what a nerd you become, Vrabel. Lost the team with your nerdiness. Gover says, "If you think the playoffs misguided, think about the question of the Titans. I had the Colts game stolen from them." Well, yeah, I said that earlier. I mean, just don't have a totally disastrous day, which includes, you know, FCS-level blocking on your punt team to get your punter hurt and get your special teams coach fired. And yeah, you're 6-7, and you're absolutely in there. You're 6-7, and you actually could think about the division if you had a crazy run at the end of the season. Just that one game.
At D. Jason Oliver on Twitter says, if the players were the reason for the losing streak, you have to give them credit for the win. You can't give Vrabel credit for wins only, or Vrabel's specials include the stinkers that the Titans put out there five times a year. This is from at D. Jason Oliver on Twitter.
Yeah, man. Again, I don't disagree. I mean, if you're dug in right now, like you are out on Vrabel and all that, you're going to be doing a lot of – I mean, yeah, it's always about the players, first of all. I mean, Vrabel says it. Give the greatest coach of all time, Bill Belichick, the roster he has, and that's why they're the worst team in the AFC. How could the best coach ever be to have the worst team in the AFC? How? Of course it's the players, but it is both, right? There's blame that has to be shared, and there's credit that has to be shared.
Correct. Vrabel gets nothing from last night.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm not sitting here saying – I'll be interested to see some of the reaction. I think Gentry wrote a good comment. I think he makes a good point. Some good points about Vrabel. But I know some people hate the idea that this is all of a sudden, now, I told you, Vrabel's the best. You know, hey, they won a game. There's been issues mostly with talent, in my opinion, but it's not like coaching issues too this year, without
sure.
question.
Well,
but you got to give them all some credit for hanging in there.
Well, winning the game against the team that they beat. And again, we talked about this heading into the game. Miami has such an explosive offense, and there's no question that losing Tyreek Hill for the amount of time they did last night had an impact on the game. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But we also talked about, like, how good is Miami really? Like, when you looked at their schedule, they've beaten one team that's above 500, and that was Denver, who they thumped 70-20, and Denver is a much different team now than they were then. So, I mean, that question obviously is still going to remain here for the Dolphins is, well, how good are they really? Even though at 9-4, you know, and they're going to make the playoffs, they very well could win the division. But how good are they really? And after last night, I still don't know. Like, we talked about this off air earlier. I thought Tua looked pretty bad last night. And credit to the Titans for help making him look that way, but I didn't think he was very good.
Yeah, no, I agree. He very much needs Tyreek Hill. He also needs his offensive line. You lose your center one of the best centers in the NFL early in the game, and the thing is, the Titans did give the Dolphins, well, they gave them three freebies.
Yeah,
they gave them three freebies. So you have the pitch leads to a touchdown. You have the punt leads to a touchdown. You have the pick six, but the pick six also was like right after the Dolphins gave one to them with bad snap, and he fumbles it. And so I think if you have your center, that doesn't happen. They probably score offensively there. But I agree. Tua did not have a good night in the Titans pass rush. I mean, Arden Key.
Harold Landry,
three sacks.
Yep.
All of a sudden, he's at 7.5. I mean, he could have a 10-sack year, which is pretty amazing given how he started. Key shows up. Autry was excellent. Someone mentioned that on the text line. Autry was excellent. And so – you know, you throw Jeff Simmons in with that group, and what could they be?
Did they get
and
too
when
much
will
money
that happen?
To Jeff Simmons? Is he overrated?
Oh, there we go.
Do we know?
put it into the atmosphere. By the way, it was 0-767 apparently.
Yeah.
So now it's 1-767 in that scenario.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Caroline Fenton. We'll get her thoughts on the Titans' big win last night against the Dolphins. And I'm sure at some point she will gloat with Joe Rexroth that Jaden Daniels won the Heisman Trophy as well.
She was there. She was there with him, right?
I know. She was. 615-737-1025. Our phone number. Caroline Fenton up next. This is Robbie and Rexroth, 1025-1063 The Game.